Welcome back in, guys. It's been way too long. Hi, kids.
I miss those faces.
Oh, boy. You're such a charmer.
Yeah, it's my gift.
That hair.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you guys up to? What's happening? Taco's back in the bus, it seems.
Yeah.
We got the bus back. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Why was it on its side the other day? Was that your bus on the side?
No, so Taco, that wasn't mine.
Okay, so Taco sent a snap, Barry, the other day, of a bus literally sitting on its side.
Wow.
In a garage. Is that how you normally fix the bus?
Like, it does make it easier to get to the bottom.
Makes it easier to get to the bottom when you're working on the... Yeah. Did you watch the live stream?
That's how you treat all the ladies. Yeah. I know. I thought it was so ingenious. It's like, did you just like reinvent the world of mechanics? Like, did you just change the whole game of just turning the car on the side?
You know what you just reminded me of? So sometimes when I'm asleep and I can't sleep, I get my phone, I go to YouTube, and I landed on one of Russ's game channels, and it's like a 15-second loop, and all I heard was him laughing over and over and over. And I was like, what a bad dream I'm having. This is awful.
Sounds like a great dream to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening. I was like, that damn, why did Taco in
I wonder how many times your wife has woken up thinking that she's sleeping next to Russ.
Probably a lot.
I wonder how many times she actually has slept next to
probably
Russ.
Probably none.
Guys, I got so much to get into. I don't know where you want to start, but I think the big news of the last couple weeks since we've seen each other, we've got dates, we've got pricing, we've got rumors abounding. Is it abounding? Mm-hmm. Whatever. But we got a lot of stuff to get to. Where do you want to start?
Let's just go. I don't know. We do have dates. Thank everybody for listening and sticking with us. We've given you a whole bunch of high five clips. We know that's not what, you know, that's not a full episode, but we like them. And I got to say, every time I go back and find one, it's kind of cool. And we'll hit on that again because we're going to talk some Grammys and all that. But
yeah, I mean,
it's amazing what all we've been able to do and who we've been able to talk to. So I think it's very cool.
Yeah, why they keep saying yes is confusing to me. But here's the thing: they're never coming back.
Yeah,
we don't get many return visitors.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right, let's start with the dates. No surprise here. We're talking mid-June, right? Is that Father's Day? It's Father's Day weekend still, right?
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. 13, 16, yeah. Right?
I love this idea of whenever people are freaking out. I don't know if I've got 100 messages of people like, do you know dates yet? Do you know dates? We always know the dates. I think that there's this fear that it wasn't happening. Mm. There's always this fear of like, do you think that they might cancel? Do you think that they might, because, you know, the graveyard is getting populated week after week with festivals just falling apart. I was
sometimes
told by
you need a little reassurance just that, yes, maybe. It is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. I got told by somebody deep in the, I won't say from where, but a festival booking agency in general, and said, this is the hardest festival season we've ever had to book.
Wow.
We've never had the difficulties that we've had this year. And you're seeing, you know, festival after festival just close up shop. And if they'll ever come back, I don't know. But maybe it's that festival insecurity and not thinking that it's going to come back and we might lose it for a year or two. But
did they offer wise?
Speaking of cancellations, Riverbend.
Yeah, we lost our local one. But did they offer why, Brad? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, costs, artist costs are through the roof, and they just keep going up. Production costs are through the roof. And then the ROI on a lot of these, you know, the margins are so small that if you miss that, you're going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that, you know, the people of Bonnaroo and Lollapalooza and Coachella have anything to worry about, you know, but a festival like Hangout could struggle. You know, if you don't sell out or get really close, you're underwater, man.
It's interesting
pun intended.
It was, yeah, well, there you go. It's interesting that they would say this is the toughest because, I mean, how many festivals did we lose in the 90s and early 2000s Because
well, this, I mean, this person's only been doing it for a decade, 15 years or so.
Fair enough, but still, and I don't mean to poo-poo whatever that person said, but yeah, you have a bad weather weekend, or you have two in a row, you know, an outdoor festival is tough.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were talking about this even before the pandemic. Is the festival thing starting to dry up in general? You know, you see all of these, especially the bigger bands going on tours just because they can make more money that way. And they can very clearly set out their schedule. You know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, maybe even on the show, that Green Day, like I had heard nothing about Green Day because Green Day had a massive tour coming up and boom, they announce it and they're doing nothing but stadiums. They can make twice as much money doing a stadium run than they could going, you know, bouncing from festival to festival. And these things are not easy to put on. You can't just like throw in an extra date here and there on the front or back of a tour. You've got rehearsals. You've got thousands of production people. You've got sets to design. You've got lights to design. And you can't just like add a couple of dates before that just because you want to do a festival. A lot of these guys don't really care. They just, you know, they're trying to get paid, man.
Those are the big ones. And that, you know, the Taylor Swift, she's making, you know, unbelievable. What about the mid to smalls though? I mean, that's where the festival has always been a big plus is to the, I don't want to say the little guys, but I mean, not everybody's in Green Day or Taylor Swift universe. And as we've said many, many times, you've got arenas and then you've got small clubs, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of 8,000 to 12,000 rooms out there.
Well, if you're selling 8,000 to 12,000 rooms, Barry, you're a sub headliner at Bonnaroo.
Okay. Right? So three to eights.
I mean, I think you're thinking about a band that's, I think you're thinking about a 1500 capacity band, like a Young the Giant.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, sure. You can fill a lineup of full of Young the Giants or, you know, Milky Chances, but you know, are they really moving a lot of tickets on a large scale? Mm. Especially when it comes to a camping festival that takes so much, you know, energy and manpower to even get there, you know? So the other thing too, the other artist that I keep hearing about it. I got 100 messages about Green Day. I never thought Green Day was happening. Informed speculation, I guess. But the other thing that I keep hearing, and Taco, you can probably reiterate this, but I keep getting asked about Blink 182 because Blink is going on this mass. By the way, I'm sorry. I'm so sick. I've been sick for days, so I sound like garbage, but I just put it this way. Blink is doing a massive stadium tour, right? They're doing baseball stadiums, and it starts the weekend after Bonnaroo. And they've got about a month and a half off from their international tour to America. I'm not saying I've been told this, but as a guy that's been doing this for a while, I guess I have an informed opinion about that. I don't see any chance Blink 182 is at Bonnaroo. I don't see any way that that would happen. Now, shock me, but I would be stunned if Blink 182 added a random Bonnaroo date a week before their big stadium tour in America starts, considering rehearsal time, production, moving that many people around and the tight timeline that they have. And again, you're talking about thousands of people on this, hundreds of people on this crew. Oh, guys, we're just going to start a week and a half early. That's fine. I don't know. I don't see it. I will say though, if we're going to, you know, jump into rumor season, I do, if I had to guess, now this is not informed speculation, but I think that you're going to see something as far as headliners go, something like in the level of Dave Matthews, Black Keys, Miley Cyrus, Fred Again, Boy Genius. That's where I would probably be thinking, and not these already touring massive baseball stadium sort of bands.
I'd be okay with that. Everything you said, I'd be fine with.
Yeah, I think that our perspective is a little off here. But you know, who knows? I just deep in my gut, I don't think this Blink-182 stuff is not accurate.
I have a feeling in the next several months, we on this show, and I hope it's true because we've been talking with, you know, some folks in the, as you have, it's a shift. And we knew it was going to be. I mean, as we've said before, Bonnaroo made a big shift with a lot of their camping stuff, and we're going to have them back on with the guys from C3 to talk about that, how it went and what they're going to do next. But I'm hearing, and nothing like probably what you're hearing, but this is going to be another shift year. As you said, with festivals dropping off, figuring out the finances aren't what they wanted. You know, we came out of, weathered the pandemic, such as it was. And then you had so many different festivals all over the country that were more localized boutiques, if you want to call them. And even those are tough. I mean, the margins, as you said, are minuscule. And, you know, we've talked about, I don't know if you and I did, Russ, but just coming out of Moon River, a beer was $16. Mm-hmm. You know, how sustainable is that? You know, a 16-ounce beer is $16. Not a lot of people that can afford too many of those, you know. So the realities of budgeting money,
especially, you know, a non-camping festival where you can't bring your own in, you know, right, at least at your camp.
Yeah. And at some point you start asking yourself, you know, can I afford this? So,
well, I mean, it's a good point because they, you know, went to the all-in pricing this past week, and I don't know what the reaction has been on you guys' side, but, you know, ticket prices have gone up. They have eliminated all the fees that exist, at least the hidden fees. So now you see everything that,
There's fees.
there's fees, but you're up front. Yeah, you see them. And then they sort of stuck it to the upper echelon Bonnaroo goers, you know, who probably could afford it. You know, I think that the biggest change was the camping prices, right? So there weren't, like, on lower end camping tickets, those weren't necessarily that affected. But when you go to, like, the next level up, did I see where Moon Colony prices went from like $500 to $1,500 in a snap of a finger?
No, that's Area 931. And if you got in Area 931 last year, you got the deal of a lifetime because, yeah, it looks like it tripled in price. Is that right? Like,
yeah, that's insane. Having $1,000 markup on a mm-hmm. on a camping price, and then when you just keep going on the upper echelons, I can't look. It's rarefied air. I'm not really looking at the prices year to year on VIP, and but I can't imagine the price difference between what just 3 years ago pre-pandemic to what it is now. Yeah. And didn't we just do this? Didn't we just do dynamic pricing last year? Didn't we just go through this? Hey, we're going to tier all of the camping prices to see how this worked. And now we're changing it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, they went through an uncoupling of, you know, the ticket level bases based on camping, you know.
Right. Yeah. So we saw this coming.
Yeah.
The a la carte, sort of vision. Yeah. And
the other interesting thing is that they tiered the camping passes as like they do regular ticket sales. That's kind of odd, where if you don't buy your ticket pass, your ticket camping pass by a certain date, the price goes up.
Right. And before it was just a flat fee, no matter
before
when you bought.
Before it was just an add-on. Yeah. $50, I think.
But to be honest, though, who would buy their ticket and then wait 3 months and be like, okay, I guess I get the camping now?
Yeah.
Seems a little strange.
I mean, these guys know what they're doing, so they've seen something, you'd like to think. So.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I was thinking about when you get to this upper echelon level of VIP and experiences stuff, boy, the amount of math that you'd have to do to see if this was really worth it. It's got to go through a ton of different, you know, filters. I don't know where they, how they land on the number that they land on and what they're trying to get out of it. What is their break even number? I know because, you know, I can't really say. Damn it. Ah, drats. Let's just put it this way. Certain festivals have, you know, if they sold 75 VIP tickets, then they're in the clear, and everything else is gravy.
Right.
I can't imagine what their number is.
Right. There definitely is that. But the other thing is, you know, and maybe you and I are not the right people to be looking at it. Not everybody is counting out their dollars. Not everybody is looking at, well, you know, I only have this in my budget. A lot of those upper echelon VIP people, it's not about the money. You know, a lot of it comes from corporate. A lot of it comes from
right.
You just have the money, which not my universe, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who are struggling. You know, I really want to do that next level. If I work another overtime for 2 weeks or whatever, I don't think there's a lot of those. I think we're talking about people who have the money and can afford to do it. And I think that's where the festival has realized there is a market.
Yeah. I think that I would be one of these fringe GA plusers, right? Because, you know, there's like, I don't know why I always try to buy the most expensive thing that I can afford that is completely unnecessary for my life. Right. You know, like somebody's going to have to tell me if the GA plus was something that even, you know, moved the needle for them, or the next, you know, space up after that was after GA plus, are these things that are now very expensive for a budget minded Bonnaroovian. I do wonder if they're worth it at that point.
Yeah. And again, we'll talk to the guys, from C3, I hope very, very soon. But I think there is value. You know,
I just want to hear somebody who's actually done it.
Yeah,
I want to hear like from somebody who's actually used some of these different tiers. And now if the prices have changed, would they go back? And it's the other thing that I wonder about, you know, the guys that are setting the price. I'd love to know their thought process of how they talk to the people that have used it, what the conversations are like, what's the feedback like, and right. You know, did they get something back that said, you know what, I think that they'd be willing to spend, you know, $250 more.
Well, I'll ask Russ. I mean, you know, we had a good run back there in the trees. Is it worth another $1,500 compared to where we were?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we know what it's like back there, so
it's awesome.
I don't know that you could really put a dollar value on that.
If I had it, sure, I would do it. Absolutely. Well, if I had it, people, I would do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, Bonnaroo is their one vacation every year. And, you know, this is like Disneyland or a cruise or something. You know, they specifically save up for it. And they say any amount's worth it because that's what they want to do.
And it also depends on who you're with. You know, if between the three of us, if you and Brad said, you know, 1500 is nothing to me.
That's where
we're going. I'm committed, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm certainly not going to sit on the outside the fence and wave at you.
So I got to go to a bachelor party in Miami in a couple of weeks. And we have a friend that's going to this bachelor party. You guys know who I'm talking about, so I'm not going to say it, but we have a friend, and I hear stories about when he goes for his birthday parties. He'll be like, guys, come on in, sit down. We're having, let's get three bottles of Dom.
Yeah.
Let's get the tuna tartare. Then like, and he'll just order like the most expensive things on the menu. And then, you know, once the bill comes, he's like, all right, happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're stuck with like a $1,200 bill. I'm like, what did I just do here?
Yeah, exactly.
And I fear that this bachelor party is going to end up like this, right?
Exactly.
That's sort of like the, like, Barry, I would like to do 4-day VIP. That's going to cost you $900.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So get a load of me.
Yep.
And hang out with me. It's going to cost you an extra $600.
Yep.
So enjoy.
Yeah. And we'll see you at Tame Impala later tonight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was another one that I would have put on my, you know, if I had a best guest list. Tame Impala sounds like a perfect band for this year. I forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at like the 4-day VIP ticket at $900, right? You get to hang out on the moved hill. You get to hang out on the hill, the legendary hill. I hope to God at some point, Barry, you know, Taco wants to be on the big screen saying yes or no to a baby.
Yep.
I want that hill named after me. God damn it. I want it to be the Brad Steiner Hill.
Tell you what, I'll go ahead and name the part that didn't move after you. Here's the Steiner section, right?
At least a sign that said the hill used to be here. The Brad Steiner Hill, RIP.
Yeah.
You just want to play.
I want that hill. I want that hill named after me. If you can do anything, that's, Ken Weinstein,
yeah.
Danny Bonnaroo, give me that hill. You get the witch stage on field viewing area. That's the space right in front of the stage, right? Because they took down the bleachers.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right about that. Yeah. Okay, so you got an air-conditioned VIP lounge, which is, okay, private bar for drink purchases. I love this. Complimentary water refill station. Boy, thank you. And then the express lane, and then the VIP Thursday night party, which always comes with a band. So if I'm... I actually, you know, I don't remember what the VIP price was last year and the year before. I've known plenty of people that go for VIP and they have no problem with it. They like it a lot.
Exactly.
But my question is that with VIP, what's the camping price on top of that? So it's $900 for my VIP ticket, but then where do I go to pay for my camping pass for VIP? Did I miss something?
Well, there is no VIP camping. That's part of their uncoupling. So if you want to buy a VIP ticket and just slum it out in GA with everyone else, you can. Or you can choose your tier based on what you can afford and what
there it is. Okay. I go to the camping session. There it comes in. Okay. Oh boy. Okay. So primitive car camping in Moo Colony is $500. The darkroom tent is $2,300.
Yep.
Boy, the RV prices. Oh boy. And then if you want 931, there you go. Tacos, $1,555. Where it was last year is $500.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that I know that do that, I know a couple of people from here who have RVs and because of age, whatever, they've been for many, many years. They now have kids that want to go, and so they make the kids pay for their RV camping.
Oh, that's funny.
They're like, I'll drive, but you're paying for my camping.
So, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Never heard a better argument to have kids.
Finally one. We found one, Taco. Yeah. We finally found one. I mean, I will say that the primitive car camping at $110, I don't have a problem with that.
No.
I know it was, what, 50 last year?
Yeah. Or, I mean, it just doubled.
Yeah, I mean, look. I went to a bar the other night with Evan Bonnaroo, and
he loves that name, by the way.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
he's like, so it's how the hell I got named that?
Well, that's because I can't remember his last name.
It's in Brad's phone. He said that's not what I go by.
So we're at this bar with Evan Bonnaroo, and we go to this bar because it's the only place I found in the entire borough of Brooklyn and city of New York that has Narragansett, a 24-ounce Narragansett taco for $4. That's
a deal.
It's incredible. It's like, it's basically free. You might as well just be sticking my head under the tap and allowing me to drink from there.
Yeah, water's probably $8.
I'm no kidding. A complimentary refill water station. Yeah. So, but anyway, the point that I'm making is that everywhere I expect to walk in and spend $10 for a beer. Whereas, you know, 3 years ago it was $6, you know, and then 3 years before that, it was, you know, we were still, do you remember, Barry, there used to be a bar, and I don't know, Taco never left his house back then, but there used to be a bar in Chattanooga where we would do penny beer nights.
Mm.
Where you'd show up and just throw like 15 cents down and you get 15 beers for all your buddies. And it was all so that women could go in there and drink tequila sodas for $12. But, you know, you go through this, the 5 years ago where it was 5 years. I don't have any problem with the price going from $50 to $110 based on everything that's going on in the economy in the last 6 years.
It really is interesting. I'm looking at the wood frame safari tent package. Comes with a queen bed and mattress.
That would cost you $4,500.
Uh-huh. And you get a cooling, I guess, an AC unit. You get sheets, blankets, and pillows for two, bedside tables, two chairs, rug, lamps, combination lock.
I would rather overspend on camping than overspend on inside Centaroo access, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm looking at it like, why would I leave this? This sounds pretty plush.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Give me a Walmart parking lot. I'm good.
I know. Well, that's because you travel with a $4,500 kit. If you rented out your bus right now, what do you think you'd get it for?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. It's just an interesting...
And honestly, have blue hair and you can get it in for free.
And I think the real point in all of this is that there are people who have the money and don't care to spend it. So, you know, to us, it looks crazy, but there are people who have it. And for them, like you said, this is their once, not just once a year, but maybe for some people, once in a lifetime kind of thing, you know?
All right. So this is what, put a pin in this, because I want to go to the, I want to go find somebody with a wood frame safari tent when we're there. And I just want to go talk to them and be like, hey, so what do you do for a living? Why'd you choose this camping package? What was it about this? And what did you couple it with?
Yeah.
GA or multiple, you know, VIP passes, et cetera.
The more I think about it, I'm really interested in the whole, who did you go with? You and your spouse. Okay. But yeah, like you said, if it tried to get a group of people, that's a little tougher, I would think, sometimes.
It is.
So maybe.
I would prefer to do the wood frame safari tent. I know this is going to sound weird, but I'd prefer to not do it with a spouse because it's the same bank account. I would rather go with Barry. Well, if I'm going with Barry's wife, I know that.
She can cook now.
Yeah, she can cook. The pimento cheese is going to be on point. But I'd like to go with somebody who can split the cost with me a little bit, because then $2,200 sounds, you know, a little bit more manageable over 4 days, you know.
And theoretically, you spend the other 360 days of the year with that person too. So how special? It's a good question. I don't know.
Depends on whose spouse.
always cuts right through it, doesn't he? He always gets right to the.
So the other thing that happened while we were gone, Barry, I got to see the My Morning Jacket, It Still Moves show at the Beacon Theater in New York. Oh, nice. My God, Barry.
Nice.
Does any band on the planet know how to build to a moment like My Morning Jacket?
Not that I know of.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is so good. So they did the album, and then they came out and did a couple other things afterwards. And you know, they're doing this around the country. But, you know, Jim is just, he's feeling, I'll just put it this way. After our conversation with him, I kind of changed my perspective on how I look at Jim. And you can go back and listen to it if you want to. The Jim James interview is one of the great moments
interviews.
Of my career.
Really good interview.
He's just so good. We didn't have anything to do with it. He was incredible.
100%.
But the thing is, like, I see him differently, you know, as he's trying to rethink how his life is and how, you know, he's going to stay alive. And, you know, he's playing, it feels effortlessly with a clear head. And it's just so precise. Everything sounds so good. I've told you this before. I never considered My Morning Jacket a very sessionable band for me. I can't really put them on and listen to it around the house. I know you can, but man, there's nothing like My Morning Jacket. Man, I saw him in a theater, yeah, Barry.
I saw him here at the Tivoli. They build a set, don't they? And you mentioned spouse. You know, it's funny. I've told this story. They were here just after Christmas, so my daughter bought tickets for me. And Kelly knows how much I love them, so she said, "Yeah, I'll go." And sold out. Beautiful Tivoli Theater, 1,700 people. First note, everyone stands up. 1,724 people stand up, but not 725. And I turn and look at her, and she just sat there. And the first song ends, and she looked up at me. And I know the theater manager, so he said, it's going to start at 8 o'clock. It's going to end, I think he said, at 10:37, something like that, whatever. And she looked up at me, and she said, and how long is this going to last? And I said, we have 2 more hours and 30 minutes, and we're staying here the entire damn time, so shut up.
And it went a lot like this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It did for the next 15 minutes, but eventually, because they build such a great set, she got into it. So, but yeah, I'll never forget that. That's my lovely wife. How long is this going to last?
Good. How long is this going to last?
I said, all night, and we're staying. So shut up.
Man, I've never felt like I was there on your wedding day until just now.
That's my life, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I paint a room and she walks in. She said, can you fix that? Did you see that spot up there? Yeah. Not looks great. There's the flaw. But anyway.
There's some other shows that I got to see. The other one was Death Cab and Postal Service. Talk about, I just, you know, 19, 20 year old Brad Kidd has never been happier in his life. cried like a baby. I love that album. Like my favorite album of all time, played in its entirety. And then, the Postal Service set, which I had never seen Postal Service before. They've only done 2-3 tours. So like, I never once saw him, and oh man, what a set. And then in a couple of days.
You had a nice interview with AJR the other day, right?
Yeah, those kids, man, I've known those kids since they were literally 16 years old. And they're really kind of low-key brilliant, right? And whether or not you like their stuff or not, to me, isn't. But these kids are just like exactly how I'd want to be. If I was in a band with my brothers, let's just bang around some stuff, put it on a computer and see what the hell happens. And then people react to it. I got to go to the Amazon Music space in Brooklyn, which overlooks the entire city of Manhattan, and on the album release night. And these, like, they just have this fan base that knows every tiny little morsel of, is it Norsel or Morsel? I always get that wrong.
I don't know what it's a Morsel.
I get that wrong. I know I get that word wrong. Do you know what other word I get wrong all the time? Is like for years I would be like, man, I'm so thirsty. I'm perched. And a friend of mine goes, what are you, a fucking bird?
Yeah, you're sitting on a tree? What are you?
Yeah, I always get parched. And now I've gotten so confused because the wife will yell at me so many times about getting Norsel wrong that I don't know which one it is anymore. I get so lost.
The self-doubt. Yeah.
I know. It's the self-doubt creeps in and I have no idea what's happening. So anyway, they know every tiny detail about this band and every little note and every little thing, and they're questioning everything. And you get this fan base where like, so on the front cover of your CD booklet, there is a drawing of a mouse at the bottom. Is that indicative of your second song in the third line of the chorus? And they're like, no, we just,
somebody drew a mouse. Yeah.
It is so weird, that fan base. But anyway, yeah, they're to see them grow. And Barry, you remember they were in our radio station courtyard in front of, I don't know, 6 people, and none of them knew who they were at 16 years old. And then a couple years later, they come and play the Running of the Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
And to this day, they still remember me as Chihuahua guy.
Yeah. Forever. Who doesn't?
Forever know as a Chihuahua guy. And they keep, I think that this is a bit, but every time they see me, they're like, hey, Brad, how are the Chihuahuas? I'm like, I don't have Chihuahuas.
At least you're memorable.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, yeah, that's all the shows. So you don't have to listen to all the other shows I went to. Wanted to get into the Grammy nominations because, you know, we've talked about the Grammys in the past and how.
Well, we saw some shows too, though.
Oh, what did you see?
We went to the caverns, or I went to the caverns.
You went to the caverns.
Or Cave Fest.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right. Hey, so the caverns, because that was where St. Paul and the Broken Bones played a couple years ago, right, Barry?
Mm-hmm. They've right. been there. Yeah. Yep.
That venue looks insane.
This was indoor. It was in and outside, right, Russ? Didn't they use the amphitheater as well?
They used the amphitheater. It's becoming better than it was.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it was great. I'd never been to the Caverns before. First time going. They've got a great camping area. They've got, you know, of course, they've got the two venues, the two stages. That amphitheater sounds great. I was really surprised with how good it sounded. And it's almost like it's got this natural stadium seating because it's kind of in a bowl, you know, where the ground just kind of naturally goes down to where they built the amphitheater. So,
yeah. And that's the original part, right, Barry? That was the part that's been there forever.
No. The cavern, the cave itself, it was the draw when during the pandemic, you know, they couldn't gather inside. So they were looking for something and they basically started weed eating and discovered that there were all these rocks in this outdoor space. And with a little work, they cleared the area and moved some rocks around, and it's become, and I don't want to overstate, but it's become sort of the Red Rocks of this part of the country. It's
what town is it in officially?
Pelham.
Oh, Pelham. Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, just the other. It's between the mountain and Manchester, so it's 20 minutes
on the Nashville side.
On the Nashville or on our side, right, Russ? Okay, just go down and then go left a little ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you take back roads.
So turn left at the grocery there.
That is the most
the old
Southern
tree.
Tennessee. Yeah. God, Barry Corner, dad, you know, growing up in Tennessee. Oh, you go straight and take the left somewhere.
Turn left at old McDonald farm. You'll know where. By the tree.
What do you expect in Pelham, Tennessee?
By the tree that used to be there.
Down anyway, by the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
And down with the Piggly Wiggly. I always turn to the Piggly Wiggly, go to grandma's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always like when people say, you know where the Piggly Wiggly is? That's not the way you go. Go the other way.
Or where people from other parts of the country have no idea where the Piggly Wiggly used to be 10
years ago.
It's a cool venue. It's really cool.
It's really cool.
Interesting. So who was there?
Just a bunch of bluegrass people. I really didn't recognize any names. Didn't really go for the music. I just wanted to check out the venue and, you know.
He wanted to take the bus. Let's be honest. He just wanted to take the bus somewhere.
Yeah. Ran into Brad and Jerry and them from Nashville. Nice. Hung out with them.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. It was cool. And then me and Brian Stone saw the B-52s here in Chattanooga.
Oh, my God. What were the B-52s doing? Where was that?
Chattanooga Motor Car Festival.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I told you about this.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I think that, you know, I don't know what I'm saying this way, but man, one of the great shows of my life. I love the B-52s so much.
Like,
you're never going to tell me that the B-52s is not a fun show ever. I would kill if they would just do one more run in like smaller club venues like they started in. Just one more. Give me one more Fred Schneider running a small club.
This is it. This is their farewell tour.
Yeah. I know.
And I don't remember why I didn't go, but I saw him had in 19...
Because it was after 6 o'clock in the evening, Barry. We know exactly why you didn't go.
That's a big part of it. I know why. I thought it was Sunday night and it was Friday night and my whole schedule was messed up. But I saw him in 82 or 83
on the front row
in the alumni gym in Knoxville, and then the next night in the back row at the Fox in Atlanta. So I saw front row and then back row. They were awesome.
Man.
It's so great. I love the B-52s. And I did say, Jossie. You remember how much I bragged on that was my show to see at Bonnaroo this year.
This guy, he's obsessed with this Jossie.
It was great. That was the first, and it was funny. I was with Dewar, our friend Mike Dewar, and my brother, my older brother went, and we all commented it was the closest thing to a 70s rock and roll show that I've seen in years and years and years. If you get a chance to see this guy, it was great. It was so much fun.
So, not to interrupt, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've got Rue Ham in town. Ham One is in town, and we're making plans for Evan Bonnaroo and Rue Ham One. So just like live on the thing. Hey, Ruham, we're talking about you. Ruham, Evan Bonnaroo, we're talking about you. There you go. All right. They're very excited with it. So I am so jealous of this B-52 story because there are just a few bands that are like bucket list things still on the sitting out there. I saw B-52s. I'm not going to lie that it wasn't, you know, the way I wanted to see them, but that's not the point. At least I saw them. It's B-52s in a club and then the Talking Heads. Oh, it's nice. Really all I got left.
Yeah.
It's all I got left. And this Talking Heads thing is for real. Yeah. It's going to happen. And I can't wait, dude. I cannot wait.
They're so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I,
oh, go ahead.
I'm really
go
jealous ahead, of B-52s.
Just because you'll, people who listen to the show will appreciate it. But Russ, tell them what our friend Brian Stone, his favorite song of the night was. You remember? Red Lobster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to hear Red Lobster.
God, I love that guy. Yeah. Yeah. And he was having a great time. He was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. I know they sound so good. I can't wait to hear Red Lobster.
Is he okay?
Yeah. No.
Did he was being serious though, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and John Oates was there, right? Did you get to see John Oates, Hall and Oates?
Not at the Motor Car Festival.
He was there. Yeah, he was there that week.
He
weekend.
Was there?
Yeah. It's a big deal.
So
anyway,
but the one thing one there. By the way, do you remember the connection between Talking Heads and B-52s, Barry? Do you remember that?
Other than
they hate David Byrne.
Oh,
because of Mesopotamia, they recorded half an album together, and midway through, they're like, "This ain't working." And David Byrne was such a jerk to them, and they were like, "Wait, this is not." And they fired him, or he fired. I don't know what the hell happened, but they hated him, and so they finished the rest of the album by themselves.
Oh, okay. If I knew that, I had forgotten. That's interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
Byrne is. He's not a likable guy. The other
doesn't seem like it. No,
the other three Talking Heads. You know, I read somewhere that their very first show. I think they were going to play. I don't know if it was CBGB's, but they had a show, and Tina and her husband, now husband, went down to the venue the night before, and David was there changing the name on the poster to the David Byrne Band.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just out of spite.
How did how they survived that? I don't know, but I
yeah. Is Stop Making Sense playing down there anywhere?
I think it did one weekend. I think maybe at the IMAX. I think or
yeah,
two. Yeah. What a great show, right?
You don't need to hear these idiots talk about Stop Making Sense, but my God, I am so upset that I missed this run in theaters. I hope it's still playing in New York somewhere, but I was I don't know if it gets any better. It's my favorite musical thing that's ever been videoed and put onto moving pictures. I'm obsessed with it. In fact, I that's what I want to dress up as for Mardi Gras. I want the big David Byrne suit. Yeah.
Nice.
So here at the What Podcast, we would really appreciate it if you spend a minute or two, no more than 2 minutes, writing a review, giving us a 5-star little rating. That would be lovely, and it could mean Barry Corder a prize from our Consequence family.
Yeah, our good friends at Consequence and the folks over at Apple Podcast have come up with a pretty clever idea. All you have to do is follow some links on this podcast and review the show, and then take a screenshot of your review and submit it to them, and your name will be put in a drawing. They're going to be giving out winners in December. So
be giving out winners too?
They will be picking winners. Excuse me. Yeah, they give out winners. Everyone's a winner.
I'd like a winner.
I would like to. Will I get a taco? Will I get a Lord Taco as my prize?
No, they said a winner.
Oh, my man. Come on.
Don't be that way. Don't be that way. Yeah, this is a chance to help us out and win some merch.
Yeah, when some consequent merch is easy as liking and subscribing to the What Podcast on your Apple Podcasts platform.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, we've talked about Grammy nominations in the process before. I don't remember why, and I don't remember how it came up, but we have two, at least two, maybe more. Bonnaroo vets, What Podcast vets three. Nominated this year.
Three.
Who's the third?
We have three.
So we got Warren Treaty, which, by the way, what year was that we had Warren Treaty on the show? Was that 2017, 2018?
That was 2018.
It was our first.
Okay.
Yeah, it was first year. Yeah, that was.
And in 2023, they're nominated for Best New Artist.
Yeah, I want to go back to that. But yeah, Noah Kahan, right? And Larkin Poe.
What was Larkin Poe nominated for?
That I don't remember.
But oh, they were very nice.
I just saw it.
Do you know I ran into her at the Elvis Costello show?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's really impressive. Good for them. Yeah, I love those girls.
They're so sweet. So good. They're great.
So what we're seeing come on the Watt Podcast, get nominated for a Grammy.
That's exactly right. It's part of your career path.
Mm-hmm. Jared is wondering why not him. Yeah. Jared is where is mine any
next
day
time.
Now
just come
how
on
how many
one
more
time.
Times do I got to come on this show to get it so the thing that I wanted to clarify just in case you didn't know how the Grammy voting process goes is that as a Grammy voter I can only vote in a certain amount of categories. So I mean there's only a couple hundred Grammy voters, so if in some of these smaller categories, let's say Barry and Taco got nominated for Best Jazz Instrumental. There's probably only 15, 20 people voting in that category.
Oh, wow.
Because you have to vote in your area in which you were put on the panel, right? You have to vote in that area. So, like for me, I'd have to vote in the rock category. But then your other votes are scattered amongst wherever you want to vote. If you don't want to vote for the big ones, you don't have to vote for the big ones. So I could, you know, very easily go into random category here and vote for insert person and maybe one of seven people voting for that artist. And then all of a sudden they, you know, win by two votes. So when you start looking around, you know, you're probably getting 90% return on the big categories. So, you know, the voting's a little bit, you know, more substantial. But you could very easily see a Taylor Swift split a vote with this person, that person. All of a sudden, Boy Genius wins Best Album or Record of the Year Artist of the Year, which I wouldn't put it past them because that Boy Genius album is one of my favorite ones of the year.
Larkin Poe is up for Best Contemporary Blues album.
All right, so that's a perfect example. I'm glad you used that because how many people do you think are voting for Best Contemporary Blues out of a few hundred, 300, 400 people?
Yeah.
So you,
and, to your other point about Warren Treaty, which we adore, they're up for what, Best New Artist?
Best New Artist.
Yeah, been around for a minute. That one's always funny to me. An album of the year when it came out last year. Yeah, it's always funny how they can twist and turn. But you know, I mean, we've always said these lists are for fans. The whole idea is to get people talking, and that's what they do. But
it's a sell.
Correct
albums. But I'll tell you, that's the other thing that happened to me while on the break. Did you see who I got to say hi to and spend some time with
last night? Wasn't it?
No, not last night. Oh. A few weeks ago.
Okay.
That'd be Miss Brittany Howard.
Oh, that I thought you meant the picture you sent the other day of you and Noah. I thought that's where you were going.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You sent me that too, you and Brittany. And
so Brittany Oh my God, that was the other thing. Oh, I'll tell you guys about that later. That's not important. But then, so I saw Brittany invited some of us to the studio to listen to her new album, which is phenomenal. You can, she's a shoo-in for Bonnaroo. Just pencil it in, by the way. She's Brittany nice. Howard. But the new album is fantastic. And we got to talking a lot about the origins of Alabama Shakes. You know, I even reminded her, and she forgot about this, that the first ever show as the Alabama Shakes was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Because before the day before that, it was just the Shakes. She told me the story on how they became the Alabama Shakes and how their manager was like, "This just we just need something that's a little bit more identifying." They're like, "Ah, I got a tattoo of Alabama, so just do that." And she gave me a big hug. It was a very, very fun conversation. Yeah. It was, nice. You know, just, I don't know, Barry, you know how much I love her and you know how much I really, really care about the people that I like, the mm-hmm. artists that I like. Mm-hmm. And when I get very nervous about spending time with them because I don't want them to disappoint me. But this is one of the,
not the other way around. Not the other
this
way.
This is one. No. I get very, no. It's always going to go bad. I promise. I was always going to, but I just time after time, I spend time with her and she swells my heart and makes me feel so happy and full of joy no matter what is happening. This is just one of the most honest and forthright and beautiful souls that I've really ever interacted with. I just adore her on every level. And this time next year, we'll be talking about Brittany Howard winning another Grammy.
That's a great lead in to why I'm so happy for these three artists in particular. I thought our phone interview with Noah Kahan, who you knew and know, our interview was the first time I had spoken to him, and unbelievable interview. He was so honest and forthcoming about his mental health issues. And
he's also become one of the biggest artists on the planet.
And he's become huge. Mm-hmm. And Larkin Poe, I go back when they were the Lovell sisters. I'm pretty sure I did one of the first interviews with them when they were there were three of them with the sisters.
North Georgia's Own.
And I mean, Warren Treaty, I mean, if you listen to this show at all, you know how I feel about Tanya and Michael.
It's one of your top five shows of all time.
Oh my God. I talked about it two nights ago. I mean, that day going from Davey to Warren Treaty to Mavis Staples to Nile Rodgers and crying three out of the four shows. And the only reason we didn't cry at Davey was because he was so happy. I mean, it was such a great show.
And we had just woken up and it was hot as hell.
It was hot as hell. It was noon. Yeah. But then we go to Warren Treaty, who, and I don't remember why we went. Do you? I mean, I knew we were intrigued. It wasn't like we
really knew. I just liked him. Yeah. I liked the album. Yeah.
And, you know, he tells the story about his PTSD and his friend mm-hmm. committing suicide after being raped and just.
And her going over and hugging him during that.
And everybody just, and he said, everybody just turn to your neighbor and hug him. And, and then we've, you know, I've become somewhat friendly with them. Whenever they come to town, we meet. And so, yeah, I care about them. It's not just.
Talk about two genuine souls. My gosh. Mm-hmm. They are the real deal, man.
My favorite, the last time I talked to Michael, they had just played Mavis's birthday party in Los Angeles, I think, the night before. But I had seen them. I don't remember if it was Riverbend or Nightfall or whatever, but I was like, Michael, it's so powerful when you drop down on a knee and you're singing to Tanya. And he said, if I was on my knee, that meant I did something bad the night before.
I gotta imagine if Barry Corder's on his knee in front of the wife.
Yeah.
He ain't getting back up easily. No,
he's
so
like me. He's like, if he's getting down, there's a reason. Yeah, yeah. It was so funny, though. They're just so genuine. I'm so happy for them. All three of those artists, nominees. So it's cool.
All right, on housekeeping day, do we have any other corners to sweep? Do we have anything else to get to?
No, we got the dates. We got some. We're hoping to have, like I said, the Corey and Brad from C3 on very soon. And, I mean, here we are almost middle November, so.
Yeah, rumor season is going to get nasty in the next month and a half.
Starting to ramp.
Get ready. Root Blues coming up soon.
Recluse, and we got some other news, some other things coming up that we want to get to. So I'm very excited to be back and missing you guys.
Yeah. Well, we keep saying we're back, and then, you know,
well,
I want to take another month off.
Yeah, I'm back. Russ and I are back.
I never left.
Hey, Russ. Yeah, but Russ has been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
If you, honestly, if you could live stream this show, you
we can. We
pop
have
it
before.
On. Well, yeah. You pop it on. Russ is going to be there the entire time you hit play. If you hit on, he's just going to be sitting there.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
All right, guys. Well, I miss you all. And if you can spend a couple of minutes, 2 minutes tops, doing a little like, a rating, a review, 5 stars, please. If you've made it this far, I hope to God you're not giving anything less than 5 stars, for love of Christ. But give us a small little review. That would be very helpful on all of your devices. And until then, we'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.